This is joint work with Emily Rader, who's here in the audience, and a couple of our undergraduate students, Ruthie Berman and Zach Wellmer. So since this is the first talk in the morning, let's start with a little bit of interactivity. Who here is still using a password that they used 10 years ago? All right, how many of you are using that password on more than one website?
It's password.
Just password, all right. Everyone now knows Simpson's password. Thank you for sharing. So this last issue, password reuse, is actually a really important issue right now. It has become especially important in the last couple months. Recently, MySpace actually released a very interesting data breach notification. So here's an excerpt from that notification. Let me read it for you. It says, "Shortly before Memorial Day weekend, late May 2016, we became aware that stolen MySpace user login data was being made available in an online hacker forum. This data actually contains approximately 360 million username password pairs that were used on MySpace about 4 years ago. So anyone who's still using a password from MySpace, if they're using it on another site, that data is actually extremely valuable because now you can use it to break into other sites. I'm actually slightly too old to have a MySpace account, so I didn't receive this data breach notification. I did receive one from LinkedIn, though. About 100 million LinkedIn usernames and passwords were shared on a similar forum, and about 65 million usernames and passwords were shared on a Tumblr forum. And that's just May of this year. So that's a lot of username and password information. And now, breaking into MySpace isn't particularly attractive. The reason these are valuable to hackers is because of password reuse, because many people reuse those same passwords on much more valuable sites, like banks or employers. Actually, just yesterday, my co-author, Emily, got a very interesting email from Pandora. This email, let me read you the excerpt from it that's important. "Our security teams have analyzed the LinkedIn credential data, and our analysis indicates that your username was among those leaked on the internet." So this is actually really interesting. Pandora sent a notification that said, we weren't breached, we had no security problems, but yet we're still vulnerable because your username was in the data that was breached from a third party. A lot of organizations are really concerned about password reuse because it's something that they have very little control over, but yet is still a major vulnerability into their organizations. For example, my university, Michigan State University, they provide advice for creating passwords to all of their users. This is the top of the webpage with that advice, and the very first thing in big letters, it says, "Do not reuse your ID and password on non-MSU sites." And if you actually read down a little bit further, you'll see they mentioned that again in the first paragraph. This was something they're extremely concerned about, and they really don't want people to be reusing these passwords. So we wondered, how do people go about making password reuse choices? How do people decide whether or not they're going to reuse a password, and if so, which password they're going to reuse? So to do this, we conducted a study. We conducted a study where we built a browser plugin for both Chrome and Firefox, and we asked subjects to install this plugin. And what it does is it observes every web page that users go to. So every time they go to a web page, we get a log message that comes back to our server that they visited a web page. And then every time they enter anything into something that looks like a password box, we collect some measurements on what that password is, we hash the password, and we send the measurements and the hashed password back to us. So we don't know their actual passwords, but we can tell when they're reusing because we get the same hash from multiple sites. This is a really useful plugin. It's actually part of a larger study where we're also collecting everything that runs on the user's all the processes on the user's machine, all the Wi-Fi they connect to, lots of security settings and updates, things like that. We installed this. It's transitions that are causing problems. We asked 134 university students to install this plugin. We paid them about $70 to let us collect data from their computer for 6 weeks. So we have 6 weeks of every website that they went to. We had about 53% women in our sample. So this is a very rich data set of all the password use that people had. So when this comes up, this is a great chart that illustrates the kinds of passwords people use, or the amount of passwords people use. So on the x-axis here is the number of different passwords that a user has, and the y-axis is how many of our subjects had that many passwords. So on the far left, you can see we had two subjects that had one password they used everywhere. And on the far right, there was one subject that had 18 different passwords. But the vast majority of our subjects had between 4 and 8 passwords that they used across a wide variety of sites. Looking at previous literature, this number is actually surprisingly consistent. Somewhere between 4 and 8 seems to be a very normal number for users to have. Now, if you take all of those passwords that a user has and you rank them by how often they get reused, then you get this chart that's going to come up in a second. So on the far left, under number one, is the user's most reused password. And on the y-axis, it's how many websites that password was reused on. So the most reused password from each user is used on approximately 9.5 different websites. This is really interesting because if you think about how the weakest website is the weakest link type of security. Once the weakest website gets compromised, then all the other ones are potentially vulnerable. The second most reused password now is used on about 3 different websites on average. And once you get past 2 passwords, third and down, they're all about 1. They have an average about used on about 1 website. So for the most part, when people are reusing passwords, they reuse about 2 different passwords. So next we wanted to look at which passwords get reused. So if we take a look at all these passwords, how do users decide which password they're going to reuse and which password they're not going to reuse? Do they pick a weak throwaway password that they use on all the websites they don't care about? Do they pick their best password and reuse that one everywhere? How do they decide which passwords to reuse? And so to study this, one of the things we did is we had to measure kind of a complexity of passwords. We used a standard entropy measure to measure the complexity of passwords. And this is a little bit of a quick description of what the passwords look like. The vast majority of passwords were alphanumeric passwords. Those were about 75% of all of our passwords were some combination of numbers and letters at some length. Second most common were strong passwords. This is a significant improvement over past studies that have shown, like 10 years ago, Flancher and Hurley generated a graph very similar to this and found that most of them were PIN numbers. So having alphanumeric is better, but still not great. So we conducted a regression to try to figure out which passwords get reused. This is a logistic regression where the dependent variable is whether or not a password was reused. We actually did a couple of different regressions and they all show the same basic pattern of results. So our first result is that, in general, people tend to reuse more complex passwords. So we ordered all the passwords by how strong they were. So a person's most complex password, highest entropy password was one, second highest entropy password was 2, and so on. And that has, and since 1 is more complex, that has a negative relationship with whether or not a password gets reused. So the lower rankings, which are more complex passwords, tend to be reused. But when we looked at it, this actually explained a relatively small amount of the variance in password reuse. So we started looking at what are some other predictors that can kind of help us figure out what passwords people are reusing. And one of the ones we came up with that's really interesting is how frequently does the password get entered in? So we measured for each password how often the password ends up getting entered into a website. So do you enter the password every day, or do you enter it in once in the 6 weeks and then never have to enter it again? So how often do you enter in your password? And this one turned out to have a very large and very positive relationship. So the more frequently you enter in passwords, the more likely you are to reuse that password on other websites. So to try to illustrate this, we kind of took this regression and drew a graphical version of that. We generated predicted values. So on the x-axis here is how frequently the password was entered in over the 6 week period. So 6 would be entered in once a week, 12 would be entered in twice a week, 18 would be entered in 3 times a week. And as you can see, as you move from left to right, then the probability of reusing the password goes up dramatically. So from once a week to two or three times a week, the probability approximately doubles that you're going to reuse the password. So the more often you enter it in, the more likely you are to reuse it. The different lines in this graph are the different rankings for password complexity, for entropy. So the red line on top is the highest entropy, the most complex password. The second line below it, which is orange, is the second highest entropy password that you have, and so on. So entropy explains about 10% of the password reuse probability, but how frequently you enter it in the password has a much bigger effect. So this is really kind of an interesting finding. People reuse passwords that they have to frequently enter in. Another finding, we measured whether or not people had a third-party password manager installed. We figured this would actually probably be a big deal. If you have password manager installed, you wouldn't reuse password as much. This came out almost exactly zero everywhere we could measure it. Password managers seem to have no effect on password reuse. This was a very sad result, but I couldn't find a way to find any other thing. So this was kind of really interesting.
Did you find people use password managers?
We did. About 15% of our subjects had password managers installed. So I can only measure installed. I can't measure use. So one of the things we started trying to think about and trying to understand and explain some of these results, and one of the things we realized is that there's one important fact that all of our subjects have in common. They're all students at the same university, which means they're all subject to that university's password policies. So one of the things we then looked at is, to what extent is this university password driving things? So we added an additional term into our regression about the university's password. The password that subjects were entering into the university website, does that one get reused more? And it turns out that is by far the most reused password. On average, the password that our subjects had that was correct on their university was used on about 3.5 other websites other than the university. So that was the most commonly reused password. A couple of additional quick results. We found that when people entered in incorrect passwords, those passwords tended to be passwords that were correct on some other website. This is kind of an interesting vulnerability. If you can watch what passwords people are entering in, you learn about the passwords that are correct on other websites. We also connected a survey along with our data collection where we were actually able to ask our subjects, to what extent do you think you reuse passwords? And what we found is that there's actually a positive correlation between self-reported password reuse and how much they actually used it. People who thought they reused passwords more actually did reuse passwords more. It was a small correlation, about 0.12, but it was positive and it was statistically significant. So people can relatively accurately self-report their password reuse. So to summarize our main finding, people reuse passwords that they have to enter in frequently to the website. The more frequently they have to enter it in, the more likely they are to reuse it. And in debating amongst our team, we were trying to come up with why might this be. And we came up with two kind of really interesting explanations. So the first explanation is that people pick, this is kind of an intentional choice. So a lot of people, they hear this advice that they need to use strong passwords. And so how do they figure out how to do this? And so if you go back to a really interesting paper from Bonneau and Schechter a couple years ago, they were trying to figure out how do we get people to memorize strong secrets. And one of the things they did, what basically worked for them, was they built up the secret over time and they made people enter it in frequently. And so it's possible that people have kind of figured this out on their own, and this is an intentional strategy that people are using to get stronger passwords. That when they know they're going to have a website where they have to enter it in frequently, they'll intentionally pick a more complex password and then use the website as a way to memorize it. And then once they have it memorized, it's easy to reuse in other places. So this might be an intentional strategy and adaptation to the advice that people are hearing. That's one potential explanation for this. Another potential explanation has to do with organizations. So in 2010 at this conference, Florencio and Hurley reported on a really interesting analysis of password creation policies. They looked at a bunch of different websites and looked at the policies that these websites had about passwords, trying to figure out who had the more complex passwords, who had the more onerous password policies. And what they found is that websites that had basically no alternative. So things like that were very hard to change away from. So your employer, your bank, your school, those tended to have the most onerous password policies because it didn't matter if people didn't want to, they had to pick a password anyway. By onerous, it means they required the most complex passwords, and they also timed out quickly, so they required more frequent entry of passwords. And so it's possible that what's going on is that basically the university has a very complex and onerous password policy, and being subject to it myself, I can tell you it's a pain in the ass. So users created a complex password, have to enter it infrequently, and ended up memorizing it. And then when they need a new password at another website, that's the first one that comes to mind because they enter it in so frequently. So this is a second potential explanation, is that it's basically the easiest one to come to mind because of the way these organizations have these strong policies. This potential explanation actually has a really important implication for organizations. If you think back to the beginning of the talk, organizations are really concerned about password reuse. So MSU has this big headline at the top of their page, "Don't reuse your password." But they also have this really onerous policy of basically timing out after 10 or 15 minutes and having to re-enter your password in multiple times a day. It's possible that these organizations are potentially shooting themselves in the foot by making people enter things in so frequently, it's leading their users to reuse passwords in other places. Thank you.
That was really interesting. Thank you. I enjoyed that. I'm wondering if you had the opportunity to look at the types of sites where people reuse their passwords. For instance, we talked to some people who volunteered information that they reuse the same password for all their sites of a particular kind, like one password across all their banking sites, which was a little frightening, but you know, or one password for all their throwaway sites, things like that. Did you see anything like that, or have the opportunity to look?
That's a really good question. We're actually in the middle of trying to do that analysis, so I don't have good results for you on that right now. But that's one of the things that we're following up on right now with this data. Is we're trying to classify the different websites. We have 30,000 websites to classify, so it's taking a little bit of time.
Cool. I look forward to it. Thanks.
Hi, Rick. Sunny Consalvo from Google. Thanks a lot. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Just curious to know if you saw any use of two-factor.
That's a really good question. It's hard to identify two-factor from weblog data. I started looking through it, and I did see some, but I don't have a good measurement for how much people were using it. That's one of the things I would really like to follow up with on this data. But I was having trouble because the different organizations that use two-factor all have different kind of URL patterns for what the two-factor looks like, and so it's going to take a while to kind of go through all the different URLs and figure out whether that's a two-factor URL or not. And so I can tell you that I think I saw about a quarter of our users were using it, or not a quarter, but I saw some people using it on Google, because that's one I can recognize. But I don't know about other organizations, and that's one of the things I want to look into.
It'd be really interesting to know if two-factor ties into the reuse.
Yeah, that would be really interesting.
Thanks.
And I know our university recently rolled out two-factor for a lot of things, but I think the students haven't started using it yet, and so I'm not sure they were using it at our university. I didn't see any of our students using two-factor in the data at the university.
Hello, I'm Jeff Goldberg from Agile Bits. I have a huge interest in what you've done. Obviously, I'm disappointed by your password manager results. I'm not actually all that surprised.
Oh, I'm sad to hear that. I was hoping that these were anomalies.
We don't know.
Okay.
So it's just intuition guess. There are lots of things I'll talk to you about later because we've got lots of things I want to know. But one thing I also suspect is that if this ran over a larger period of time, you would start finding there are passwords that people reuse for things that they might log into infrequently.
Yes.
So, for example, you would not have caught anybody with a MySpace password. But if they're using their MySpace password for something else, then they've got that. Of course, the worst case is when somebody reuses their master password for their password manager. And
yes.
No, that's not funny.
Yes. And so I completely agree that if we had a longer time frame of data, we probably would see more password reuse and not less, if I had to guess. But hey. I'm not entirely sure.
Hey, Rick, Samir from NYU. I don't know if you have the data for this, but I was wondering if there is any effect due to people using certain resources on their mobile devices, because passwords are much harder to enter on a mobile device, and then even if you have a password manager on your desktop, you may not have it on your mobile device, and many of these password fields do not allow pasting, so you really have to manually enter all those 18 random characters with special characters, and that's a pain.
That's an excellent point. I know we don't have any mobile data. This is all from desktop web browser use. Mobile data is much harder to instrument, but I think that's potentially an interesting explanation for the password manager results also. So.
Hi, Jack Billings, North Central College. You said you looked at the number of passwords that users had, but were you able to look at all at people using just slight variations on the same password?
Because we didn't collect the actual passwords for ethical reasons, we didn't want to actually store people's real passwords. We only stored hashes of their passwords. We couldn't tell whether people were using a slight variation. I did a little bit of analysis to try to see whether the structure of the passwords was the same. Did it have the same number, like the same character sets, the same length, and things like that? And this other work has shown that there's a lot of evidence that people do use slight variations, but we didn't really have the data to do a good analysis of that.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks to the speaker again.
Thank you much.